Okay. So now when we talk about the 10 paths of constructive actions, again, they have the 4 results, okay? Or the 3 results, but actually divided in 4 ways. What are they? What's the first result of a karmic action? Maturation result. What does that mean? Yeah, what rebirth you have. You're the body and mind you take. Okay, second result. Okay, then the second one? Yeah, the result similar to the cause. And this is divided into 2. Okay, what are the 2 parts to this one? Yeah, okay. So you have the result similar to the cause in terms of your experience. In other words, even, you know, let's say you're born in a particular realm, what things happen to you? Yeah, what particular events happen to you during your life? And then the result similar to the cause in terms of your instinctive or habitual behavior, what things you repetitively do very easily. And then the last result, environmental. And that is? Yeah, that's the surroundings that you're born into. Yeah. Okay. So, if we go back to the ripening result or maturation result, now, if we talk in terms of the intensity of the action, here we're not talking about the motivation of the action, the intensity of the action. If it's a very intense action, a very intense thing that you've done, you know, then it creates rebirth in the formless realm, okay, which is considered the highest realm in samsara, or the greatest, you know, happiness. Or actually, they have equanimity, the greatest peace. And then with a middle intensity positive action, then you get born in the form realm. And with a small intensity positive action, you get born as a human being. Okay? Because remember, with the negative actions, for a really heavy negative action, it was in the hell realm, a middle one in the hungry ghost realm, and a small one in the animal realm. So here also according to the intensity of the action. Okay? And so this is determined if you have a very strong motivation, if how many of the factors which constitute making an action heavy or light, you know, we went through those 6 factors, remember? How many of them are present, if the motivation was real strong, all those things are going to influence the intensity of the action. And these results that we were just talking there are in terms of worldly happiness. The formless realm having the greatest amount of peace in samsara, then the form realm, then the human realm. Okay? So this is why, again, motivation in our dharma actions is so important. Because if we don't motivate, then the karma could ripen in rebirth in the formless realm or the form realm or a human being realm, but we may not necessarily have the opportunity to practice dharma in whatever rebirth we're born in.
What's the formless realm?
Formless realm, you get born in that when you have very high states of concentration, yeah, very strong samadhi, and the mind just gets completely concentrated, let's say, on space, or concentrated on nothingness, or, you know, these very intense states of concentration. Okay, and you just have, at that, you don't have a gross body at that time. Yeah? You just have, like, the energy of the mind. Well, you know, you don't have to deal with, like, all the hassles that we deal with day to day, you know? Yeah, you don't have to pay the rent, you know. You don't worry about your golf game. Yeah, you don't have to listen to the ghetto blasters, and, you know, it's quite peaceful. Well, no, you just have a very concentrated state of mind, and when you have single point of concentration, it brings great peace and bliss in the mind, because you don't have all these other, you know, I mean, you can see in our mind all the thoughts blah, 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 and all the anxiety, all the worry, this constant flow of blah, blah, blah. You don't have any of that when you have single point of concentration. And so in the formless realm is when you have super high levels of single point of concentration. The form realm is when you have kind of single point in concentration, but it's not the super high levels. Okay? And so with the form realm, you have kind of a grosser body, but it's more like a body of light or something like that. It's not, you know, quite as painful and problematic as our body.
Then are you not ever reborn again?
Oh, no, you are reborn again.
But you're still in that.
Right, you're still within the cycle of existence. That's why it said that these good rebirths are in terms of worldly happiness. And that's why just developing intense concentration is not sufficient to free ourselves from cyclic existence. Yeah? Because you see, many religious traditions and many spiritual practices have ways to develop very strong concentration, very strong samadhi. But that doesn't mean that people who develop them are liberated from cyclic existence. Because you might have very strong samadhi so that the anger and the attachments and these things don't arise consciously, manifestly in your mind. But you see, because they're still there at an unmanifest level, the seed of them is still there, then as soon as you lose that concentration state, they all come back again. So you might get born in the form realm or the formless realms, and you can have a really long rebirth there, you know, an eon or, you know, I mean, you can stay a long time in these really nice states. But then after the karma to get reborn there finishes, you know, the only way you go is down. Because then you're negative, you know, you're less positive or your negative karma starts to ripen. And so that's why they say that in samsara, we've been born as everything. I mean, can you imagine this? We actually have had single-pointed concentration before in the past. Yeah? This is really, you know, that we've been born in these formless realms. We've been born in the hell realms. We've done everything within cyclic existence many, many times. Yeah, that's the point. But we never practice the path. Yeah? We never develop the wisdom that cuts the ignorance. We didn't do it right, like you said. No? So that's, again, why the motivation is so important, because if we don't have the motivation, we might do a positive action. We might get a good rebirth, but then that causal energy finishes, and then another karma ripens again. But if you have a positive motivation, you know, like I want to become a Buddha for the benefit of sentient beings, then you're able to, let's say, take another precious human rebirth and meet the conditions whereby you can practice Dharma and thereby continue to purify your mind and to continue to create positive actions. Okay?
Purifying the subtle seeds.
Yeah. Not just purification, but really cutting the continuity of those seeds. Okay? Because it's like right now you might not be angry. Okay? Anger's not manifest in your mind. It's the same, like if you have single point concentration, anger's not manifest in your mind. But as soon as you start thinking of something, boing, the anger comes real quick. You know? So it's likewise, if those beings lose their samadhi, you know, when that karma to be reborn in that realm ends, and they take a lower rebirth, you know, anger, jealousy, the whole thing comes back again. Huh?
What would cause death?
What was caused death in like one of those realms? That the karmic energy finishes. Same thing that causes death in this life, you know? Like death from old age. Because when we create like an action to get a result, because the action is impermanent, it doesn't last forever, the result doesn't last forever either. Yeah? So we experience something as long as the causal energy is there to experience it. You know, it's like a flame burning, you know? It'll burn as long as the fuel's there, but the fuel runs out, flame glows out. So similarly, you know, the karmic energy to have a certain life finishes, then that life ends. Then different karma ripens, you get born in a different realm. Okay, they also say, you know, in terms, I should explain, because I was saying the formless realm, the form realm, and the human realm. And the formless realm is considered the highest in terms of the peacefulness within cyclic existence. Mm-hmm. However, for attaining enlightenment, the human realm is considered the best one. Yeah, this is interesting. That the best thing in samsara isn't necessarily the best thing in terms of dharma practice. Because if you have one of these really high states of concentration, you just zap into your concentration. You don't think about anything else. So you never develop wisdom. You just stay in your bliss. And there can be incredible strong attachment to the bliss of concentration. Okay? So that's why, from a Dharma perspective, a human rebirth is much more valuable than one of these blissful rebirths in a realm of, in one of the realms of concentration, or even as a desire realm god who have these super duper sense pleasure. Yeah? A human rebirth is considered better than that, because if you have either a lot of sense pleasure or a lot of happiness from your concentration, you're so easily distracted from the Dharma. Whereas, you know, in a human realm, we have enough problems that it gives us some motivation. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, to create, you know, the strong Dharma aspirations, the method aspect is much more difficult in other realms. You know, some people might be able to do it in like the desire realm gods or whatever, some people who are aspiring for liberation, they might take rebirth sometime as a form realm god. But there they've done that specifically with a Dharma motivation and they continue their practice. But ordinarily, you know, regular old desire realm gods, you know, kind of, it's nice. Who needs the Dharma here?
Is that formless or?
Both, form and formless. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Where does that
Pure Land rebirth? It doesn't really fit into these, you know, to the six realms of existence. It's kind of, okay, I better tell you what a Pure Land is. Yeah, and it doesn't fit into these six realms. So, you know, don't get too categorical here. But a Pure Land is, and there's many types of Pure Lands also. Okay, so this is another sticky thing. There's many kinds of Pure Lands. Okay, because actually sometimes some of the realms in the form list are called Pure Lands. But when we're talking about like Amitabha's Pure Lands, let's take Amitabha's Pure Land for example. Sukhavati, that one that's real popular, you know. But, okay, so this is a Pure Land that is created by the power of it's usually a Buddha's pure intention, or like a Buddha before before Amitabha became a Buddha, when he was generating bodhicitta, he made 48 very, very strong vows to, you know, really help the sentient beings. You know, I mean like very, very committed vows to really help sentient beings. And one of the vows was to create this place, this Pure Land, where all the conditions were really conducive for Dharma practice. Yeah? So that everything around you made you think of the Dharma. So, first of all, it's a very, very beautiful place. So you don't get all angry and, you know, because things aren't efficient and they don't function properly. You know, everything works. So the whole environment's very beautiful. All the people around you are into Dharma. So everybody you talk to is encouraging and supportive of your practice. And somehow by the karma of Amitabha and the karma of the people born there, everything you hear becomes a Dharma teaching. So even the wind goes through the trees, even the birds chirp, it becomes a teaching on impermanence to you, or a teaching on selflessness to you. Yeah? So it's, you know, so you can see that they talk about it in terms of, well, this is the quality of the environment, but you can see it also has to do with the state of the mind of the person being born there. And that's one way why we could see also creating a Pure Land here, because if you generate the ability, let's say, to hear the birds chirping and the motorcycle going and whatever it is, as a teaching on impermanence, this can also become a teaching in a Pure Land here. The thing is, like with Amitabha's Pure Land, the advantage of being born there is that once you're born there, you never get reborn in the six other realms. And so it's kind of, once you're there, you have guarantee you're going to get enlightened. Yeah? So it's like you go, at least I don't have to worry about, you know, any of these other six hassles. And you just do your practice, and you eventually get enlightened. Now, it's very interesting because they say that, I heard it once said that, you know, all of us human beings are, you know, we're always saying, can I be born in a pure land? Can I be born in a pure land? And then there's these bodhisattvas who are born in the pure land who are saying, I want to be born as why would that bodhisattva want to be reborn as a human being? It's because when you have a human rebirth, due to the elements of the human body, the construct of the human body, it can be used to practice the Vajrayana or the tantric method. And that is a very quick way to attain enlightenment. Okay, when you are a proper vessel, yeah, then using those techniques can lead to enlightenment very quickly, whereas being born in a pure land can take some time. Yeah. So people have different aspirations. Yeah, but you see, also taking a human rebirth, it has it's tricky, isn't it? You know, I mean, if you're qualifying, you practice Vajrayana, you can go quickly, but if you break your tantric vows or if you get distracted, you know, big potential for problems here. Yeah? Whereas if you're born in the pure land, it might take longer, but it's more secure. So I think it's going to depend on people's personality. You know, a lot, too, what they're attracted to.